You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, TV producer and comedian Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode, which is being dropped on the 15th day of October 2019, is brought to you in part by Vivid Seats. We are available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, Podbean, all the places where you get your podcasts. You can find us. You can check us out on the website, lockedonmlb.com. You can get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. It's not just baseball. There's all football shows. There's basketball shows. It's terrific. By the way, check out Locked On Yankees to check out my friend Stacy Gatsoulias, who's going to be talking about the Yankees in the ALCS. Let me talk a little bit about that on this show, as well as, oh, let's just face it, an absolutely bizarre National League Championship Series that's unfolding. When you want to check us out on Twitter, we're at LockedOnMLB. We're also at that handle for Instagram. And I am personally at Sully Baseball or Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, something can happen today, the 15th day of October 2019, that hasn't happened since 1933. Hasn't happened in a very long time. 1933 was the first year of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's first term. He had four terms. This was his first one. This was a year when King Kong came out, and Fay Wray was considered to be a young star. And I'm sure there were hipsters who were saying things like, you know what, movies just aren't the same since you could hear the actors talk. You know, Leonard Cohen, the singer? He was born, lived a full life, and died without what could happen today happening in his lifetime. Carl Sagan, same thing. Lived an entire life, never saw it happen. Carl Sagan's been dead for like 20 years. And that is the city of Washington hosting a World Series game. I didn't know that was ever going to happen, and it looks like it's going to happen, because what was kind of a coin toss of a National League Championship Series, where I thought maybe the Nats had a slight edge because of their starting pitching, but I thought, well, this is clearly going to be a hard-fought series. It hasn't been. It has not been a hard-fought series. It has been a lopsided series. And Washington is taking control over this league championship series in a way that I've never really seen before. You know, I saw the Red Sox get swept a couple of times by the Oakland A's in the late 80s, early 90s. But the Red Sox were in some of those games. I mean, some of them turned out to be old-fashioned butt-whipping. But, you know, at least there was some close games in there. And I suppose the 3-1 game was close and everything like that on game two, but the Cardinals don't seem to realize that these are the games that count, that they're actually playing the National League Championship Series. They have been outscored 13-2, and the only two runs that the Cardinals have got in this series have been in moments where the outfielders misplayed a ball. If the Washington outfield defense has been perfect, then we would be talking about the Cardinals being scoreless for the first three games. They still haven't connected with an earned run off of any of the starters. They've been out hit 28-11. They have an average of 121, an on-base percentage of 167, and a slugging percentage of 143. That's what you expect an American League pitcher to hit. They've struck out 34 times in the three games. That's, think about that. It's worse than 11 strikeouts a game. They've only drawn 3 walks. And it's unbelievable when you consider the fact that this is the same team, the same Cardinal team, that went into Atlanta, a very, very good Atlanta Braves team that nearly eliminated the Cardinals and scored 10 runs in the top of the first inning of Game 5 of the Division Series and just absolutely humiliated the Atlanta Braves. They could score at will at that game. And here we are right now, and they don't look like they even belong on the same field as the National League wildcard team. There's no way to explain what's happening here. That this Cardinal team that played so tough. I mean, let's face it, they played Atlanta tough. That they faced elimination. They were 4 outs away from elimination in Game 4. This would have been a Braves-Nationals series if the Braves had held on to that lead in the 8th inning of Game 4. And suddenly, the Cardinals look like a Little League team. And I can't fathom what's going on in St. Louis Cardinals fans' minds, because there is something very, demoralizing when you look at your team about to get swept. And especially with the euphoria that that team was having, that they eliminated the Braves, had home field advantage in the National League Championship Series, and boom. Now, I did see this happen once when the Oakland A's defeated the Minnesota Twins in the 2006 Division Series and then wound up getting swept by the Tigers in the League Championship Series, culminating in the walk-off home run by Magleyo Ordóñez. It's a little demoralizing. But the A's put up a fight. The Cardinals weren't putting up a fight, especially on Game 3. And I can't help but think about a couple of different fan bases. I can't help but think about the Cardinals fan base, of course. I can't help but think about the Braves fans thinking, oh man, we would have at least put up a fight. But I'll tell you who I'm really thinking about right now. Our Dodger fans. Dodger fans who were 2 innings away from seeing them win. But also remember, they had that demoralizing for the Nationals victory in Game 3. Remember, the Dodgers were up 2-1. And Howie Kendrick made a terrible base running mistake that killed a potential rally. Then they put the aft thrusters on, pulled away, and it just looked like a formality that the Dodgers were up 2-1. And you were basically, okay, they had that one fluke victory, but the Dodgers were the better team. And all right, the Nats won Game 4, forced Game 5, the 2 home runs off of Kershaw. But they still remember the Dodgers had a runner on base in the bottom of the 9th, and Will Smith hit a ball deep to right field. If he had placed that ball a little better, if that was driven to the right part, that would have been a double, that would have scored the run, and we'd be talking about the Dodgers. And if the Dodgers were playing at the level that they were playing, especially with Walker Buehler pitching as well as he was, and facing a Cardinal team that looks dead from the neck up, then we'd be really just assuming the Dodgers would be waltzing into the World Series right now. This must be an absolute devastation for Dodger fans to watch. I can't imagine what it's like for Brewers fans to watch. Remember, the Brewers had the lead in the 8th inning again against the Nationals. I don't know what to make of this Nationals team. I'm very happy for them. I'm unabashedly rooting for them. But are they that sort of charmed life that they're going to have where they're just winning all these games they're not supposed to win? I mean, if they win the pennant later today and will wait for the Yankees and the Astros, will they have a chance? Well, the fact of the matter is They didn't seem to have a chance in any of these other games. And if the pitching continues to be like this, I mean, they're handing the ball to a rest-and-ready Patrick Corbin. Anibal Sanchez dominated them. Scherzer dominated them. Strasburg dominated them. And remember how people were wringing their hands about how awful their bullpen is? The bullpen is dominating them. And in fact, the bullpen, the Nationals' bullpen, has pitched quite well, thank you very much, since Game 3 against Los Angeles. I don't know what to make of it. All I know is we could see something today that we haven't seen since 1933. And if that's the case, then there will be tickets to be bought, World Series tickets to be bought in Washington. And let me tell you, fans, if you're in Washington, I would do everything you possibly can to get World Series tickets, because that's something, it's not even once in a generation. It's once almost every century at this point. And if you're looking for seats at these games, let me tell you what you should do. You should go to Vivid Seats. That's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime, once in a lifetime. You know, Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. And Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program. That's the Vivid Seats rewards. And these reward statuses range from MVP to Hall of Famer, and customers can earn from 10% to 16% credit on all their purchases through the app through the month of October. Here's what you do. You go to the App Store or Google Play, whatever you use, and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Reward Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on their purchase as part of the Vivid Seats Reward. And all Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount up to $100. Do it, Nats fans. This is a chance you never thought you were going to get, and you certainly didn't think you were going to get a couple of weeks ago. Go to Vivid Seats and use promo code POSTSEASON. All right, I know my mom is listening to this, so Mom, just do me a favor and skip ahead a little bit. That'd be great. Thanks. All right, everybody else, let's talk about sex. Good, ready to go sex. Now, you can increase your performance and build up your confidence. Everyone but my mom, listen up. I'm talking about BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra or Cialis, so you know they work. Take them anytime, day or night, on a full stomach, while stuck in traffic after a Dodger game. I don't judge. They're chewable, and they work twice as fast as the pill, so you know you'll be ready quicker than a manager can make a pitching change. Now, everyone I know has tested it, and I have many trustworthy friends who confide with me very personal details. They all tell me it gives them a little extra and it works great. Now, we baseball fans, we know all about getting a little edge with performance enhancers. And this is just isn't for people who can't perform. This is for anyone who wants something a little extra. Look, Blue Chew is prescribed online, ships to your door, discreet package, no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no awkwardness. In fact, the only awkwardness involved in Blue Chew is knowing that my mom is probably still listening. Made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Now, right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use the special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 shipping. All of that just by going to BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Once again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB. Try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, and faster choice. Thank you for sponsoring the Locked On MLB podcast. All right, there's another series that's going on. And it dawned on me today that this day, the 15th of October, could very well be the last day of the year where there are two baseball games on. where there's more than one game being played. That's a distinct possibility. All that has to happen is Washington has to beat St. Louis, which doesn't seem like a very hard thing for them to do. And then from then on, it's just the ALCS and then the World Series. Now, the Nationals obviously are dominating St. Louis in ways that we weren't expecting. But I do believe that this Houston versus New York series is going to go deep. They have Gerrit Cole pitching for Houston today against Severino. Now, Severino has looked very good, and he's, of course, rested. But Gerrit Cole is just pitching at another level. I mean, think about what he did against Tampa Bay. Two starts, 15 and two-thirds total innings. So he's going deep in the games. That's better than a seven-inning start. He has struck out 25 batters in 15 and two-thirds innings, walking only three. He let up one solo home run, which was the only run that he allowed in 15 and two-thirds innings, to a 0.57 ERA. He got the two wins. I don't really look at win-loss records. All I look at all the other stats. And he has just dominated. He is absolutely, you know, more than eight strikeouts per walk against a good Tampa Bay team. And look, I think he's going to win today. I think he's just too good right now. Now, that being said, I think the Yankees are going to win game four, which is probably going to be a bullpen game. And I think that falls solely in the Yankees' strength. And then you bring back Zach Greinke. I don't know what Zach Greinke is going to do. Zach Greinke has been quite shaky. And the Yankees are going to be bringing in Masahiro Tanaka, who, let's face it, has been outstanding. And then you have Verlander and Cole versus Paxton and Severino. I think that is the definition of a seven-game series, of which can go either way. Because let's face it, the Astros are lucky to get out of Houston with a single victory. The Yankees played them very, very well in game two. And if a ball here dropped or something fell the right way, then the Yankees would be up 2-0. But it's 1-1. Now, if this series goes seven games, then you will look up and you will see this series would go till Sunday. Sunday. This will go to the weekend with potentially the Nationals finishing up on Tuesday and having nearly a week to sit around and wait for these two Titans to beat the snot out of each other. Now, if that happens, and we have seen things like this happen before, historically, if there is a team that sweeps the LCS and they're facing a team that goes seven games, we've seen it favor the team that goes seven games, which sounds counterintuitive. I mentioned that 2006 series where the Tigers swept the Oakland A's, finishing on the Magliordonius home run. And the Tigers waited around for the Mets and the Cardinals to play seven games. And ultimately, the Cardinals made it in, and the Cardinals went on to win the World Series, and the Tigers looked really sloppy. And the very next year, the Colorado Rockies just swept through from the wild card, the last few weeks of the season, winning the wild card over San Diego, sweeping Philadelphia, and then sweeping the Arizona Diamondbacks to win the pennant. Meanwhile, the Red Sox and the Indians battled it out. And lo and behold, the Red Sox took seven games to beat the Indians, and then they swept Colorado with the World Series. So you could make the case that the Yankees or the Astros would benefit from a seven-game series because they won't be stale. I think that, I don't know, I'm a little wary of narratives like that because, you know, there have been instances where teams have gone the seven games and played a team that made short work in the league championship series, and the team that had short work wound up winning. Specifically, I'm remembering 1996 when the Braves and the Cardinals took seven games to play. The Yankees only took five games to defeat the Baltimore Orioles. And boom, the Yankees wound up winning that one. I really think it's just going to be about the pitching and how it lines up. And if the Nationals can win, they'll be able to line up Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin, Anibal Sanchez in their rotation. And if the Astros or the Yankees go seven, would they be able to start Tanaka game one if it's the Yankees? Would they be able to start Gerrit Cole game one if it's the Astros? Probably not. All of these narratives will be written in retrospect. Because let's say the... but you know, it just dawned on me. Another instance of a team sweeping, facing a team that went seven was 1988, where the Dodgers took seven games to beat the Mets. The A's swept the Red Sox, and it was the Dodgers. I'm getting more and more data that it's better to go seven games. But of course, what are the Nats supposed to do? Lay down for seven games? It's not their fault that the Cardinals didn't show up. So it will be interesting. Step one, see what happens with a Nationals victory that I just think is almost assured to happen later today. And then to see Gerrit Cole, to see how he fares in the next round. If the Yankees win today, if the Yankees defeat Gerrit Cole, then I think the Yankees are going to just stampede to the World Series. I don't think that's going to happen today because I think Gerrit Cole is too good. And I think that's a seven-game series. And it's unfolding in a strange way. Now, we've seen a World Series in Houston just a couple of years ago. We've seen several World Series in New York. We could see a World Series in Washington. And either way, I'm just taking a look at this Cardinals team and saying, what the hell happened? But I can tell you what happened with me and this podcast. I'm going to be doing one every single day or every single weekday during the postseason. So check us out on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also on Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts. You know all the places to get it. I've already talked to you through that. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB. Follow us on Instagram, the same handle. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Looking forward to something we haven't seen since King Kong was a new movie. This is Locked On MLB for the 15th day of October 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.